Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer.
Hi, David. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well, Alana. And can I just a warm shout out to all those on the Getter community who joined us last week for the first time, and of course, all our friends in Rumble as well. So thanks wherever you are, wherever you're watching us or listening to us. Alana and I appreciate your support.
Yes. And please subscribe.
Yeah, hit that subscribe button or I will be visiting you individually to have a word, right? Now, we have, we've got a lot to talk about, Alana. We have a lot to talk about. And do you know something? I'm really pleased to have you with me this evening to talk about a topic. Because it's we're going to talk about Ukraine and essentially the shenanigans that's going on between the West and Russia and Ukraine and all of that. And, you know, before we get into that, Alana, what I wanted to say was the reason I'm so pleased to have you is it might seem a long time ago, but whenever the whole Iraq war thing was kicking off, you were one of those voices who very sensibly pointed out the absolute folly of that. And I don't think, you know, you got a lot of thanks for doing it necessarily at the time.
But you were right. I don't think I pointed out, so yes, there was sensibility and rationality, but there was the fury and the passion of an unjust war. So I'm getting boiled up again when I see that ramp up again with NATO against Russia. Yep. So yeah. I don't know if I was definitely rational. I galvanized all my faculties, whether it's just war theory, libertarian, non-intervention, and interventionism, and so on. But there was certainly a lot of passion that went into futilely, though, because the war went ahead, and my first editorial was written on September the 19th, which 2002, when I pretty much became persona non grata. But I can just feel the same sort of alternate reality shaping up now.
Yeah. Alana, you know, I think the stuff that you were writing back then, and I did follow your columns back then, and I see it's the same. In fact, as you and I have said in our communications in the past few days, you know, if you live long enough, you just see things repeating themselves over and over again. The drumbeat is the same. But the thing is, we should live and learn, I think. We should live and learn from the things that have happened. And you know, you can go back to the Iraq war. And on this particular one with Ukraine, we Brits should be able to go back to the 1850s if we want to really get into history in this one.
But, really?
You know, because the lessons of history are there, so I guess as we sit here discussing this, the mainstream narrative is very, very simple. I think I'm going to bring up just a couple of headlines, just mainstream media stuff, and then we're going to talk about Atlanta. But if we can bring up a couple of things, yeah, here we go, Alana. Ukraine, Boris Johnson says UK will contribute to NATO deployment if Russia invades. And as it, again, just the usual stuff, Alana. You've seen this in different ways before. And here we have the rhetoric sort of amping up from the legacy media. 100,000 Russian troops just waiting to rush in to Ukraine I'm not sure for whatever reason. And and we have all these scary images. Boris Johnson has said, yes, Brits are going to be going there, Alana. We're going to be going there to sort them out. In fact, actually, can we break away from that? I want to show you this as well, Alana. Hang on. Take that off the screen. Here is a leading British publication. Let me get this up. And this is, look, this is the stuff. Russia's taunting us. It's taunting us. The Daily Mail, which, by the way, Alana, FYI, was quite keen on Hitler in the 1930s.
Oh, really?
Daily Mail is pushing out the content. You know, right, guys, we're going to sort out those Russians. And that's our side of the pond. Meanwhile, your side of the pond, I think we had a headline here I wanted to flag up as well. Kind of laughable, but there you go. Joe Biden, in one of his moments when he's, half sentient, he's preparing troops well, according to the press anyway, to deter this Russian invasion of Ukraine. So 8.5 American soldiers, high alert. So, Alana, let's talk about this one here, shall we?
David, just let's, the few voices of reason, and there might have been more since I checked the headlines yesterday, but the Croatian president said that he pinpointed it perfectly. He said that this has nothing to do with Ukraine or Russia. It has everything to do with the dynamics of American politics. He's suggesting there's a little bit of, what do you call it, wag the dog going on. The same thing with Britain, I would imagine. Britain is a lapdog that follows the US, but it does have Boris does have a bit of a party problem.
Right. Well, that's right. You see, actually, Alana, there was a big moment in the House of Commons in Parliament today where he was being asked awkward questions about parties. And what did he want to talk about? Ukraine.
Exactly.
So, you know, Alana, it's exactly so whether it's here and in fact, I want to explore this with you in more detail, because there's questions I've got for you about, you know, not just the UK and not even just the US, because if we look at NATO as a whole, I think it's pretty, yes. I think there's some searching hard truths we need to
reveal. David, there was another good guy. Germany's being extremely sensible. And of course there is some sort of national interest facet that is coming up in American discussions about this, but there isn't any morality involved. But in any case, so there's been a lot of maligning of Germany. Oh, they rely on Russia for their oil needs. But, well, that's good. We libertarians like intertwined trade between countries, because that averts nuclear war, which nobody seems to be speaking about. So we had loudmouth Laura Ingraham mocking the Germans who are doing Putin's bidding. I don't know on what side she is, actually. But Germany, which has been harangued for a century, at least for its Teutonic propensities, for its warrior propensities, is now actually, you know, trying to quieten things. And more ominously, Germany not only prevented its own German-made armaments going from Estonia to Ukraine, but it also, one of its Navy chief said, Putin needs to be treated with some respect. And he also said that Crimea was not going back anytime soon to be under the auspices of Ukraine. Yeah. And what worries me, David, is not that he was seen as a sensible military man. He was forced to resign. So that's where we are.
Well, you mentioned Germany, and I think that is a fundamental point here, Alana. We should focus on for a second or two, because, you know, under Merkel, Germany had a pretty sensible détente policy, which is the one she followed with Russia, and basically the cooperation led to the Nord oil line and all of that. And I don't think NATO liked that at all, because, you know, I mean, I think flagging a hard truth up to start with. Let's just go for it. NATO is, in my opinion, more of a problem than Putin's a problem. NATO doesn't like this German-Russian economic cooperation, for want of a better word, you know, and it's strategic, because let's face it, Germany needs that reliable oil from Russia. But the minute Merkel walks out the door, Alana, boom, look what's happened. There's a massive fundamental shift. Realignment, I think, happening or trying to be made happen between Germany and Russia, and it's NATO and Biden and co who are behind it, don't you think?
David, it goes back even further if we follow the immensely scholarly output of Stephen Cohen, which I have done since 2013 when I weighed in on the Ukraine issue. You know, when the dissolution of the USSR happened, there was a pretty established detente between Reagan and Gorbachev, and there was an agreement that, you know, yes, how many were in NATO then? About 10 countries, mm-hmm. which were obligated yeah. to defend under Article 5 of the NATO agreement. But there was a agreement between, certainly between the US and Russia, of that NATO wouldn't, you know, begin swallowing countries, so that Russia was the only country from without NATO, and that they was brought right to the border, a very long border Ukraine has with Russia. So yes, yes. these are legitimate concerns, and those were promises made in 1991 with the condition of the unification of Berlin yeah. was that NATO was, you know, brought into being to keep a check on the Germans, ironically, yeah. and that it wouldn't encroach on Russia. But with Clinton actually began the new Cold War, which is pretty much what Stephen Cohen, the late prolific scholar of Russia, intimated, is that this Cold War began with Clinton, you know, going into Serbia, bombing Serbia, and pitting NATO against Russia, and sort of bribing more and more countries to join NATO as against a defeated Russia.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The thing that amuses me is, I mean, they talk about Russian belligerence, and yet there is NATO trying to pile on Russia's doorstep. If I was Putin, I know what I would do, which is pretty much what he's done as well. I mean, it puts Russia in a very tricky situation. And then, of course, if you turn around and you're seen to be defending Russia, well, then you're the most deplorable person imaginable.
You're demonized, David, if you like the former President Trump, who also wanted just cooperation and peace, detente, you know, a collaboration or a respectful, or what Stephen Cohen called the parity principle, that you treat your opponents with some respect and you work to restore peace. So, you know, this has gone by the way, and this is what's so scary, that anyone who even there's nobody in Congress that is pro-detente. It is all about sanctions and warmongering. Yeah. On both sides. So that is very scary. We had Ron Paul, he's no longer in Congress. We had Tulsi Gabbard, she was called a traitor for having this kind of perspective. And what more do we need to know than when Trump orchestrated this Helsinki meeting, for which he should have been, with Putin? He was called a Russia's, you know, bitch. He was involved in nefarious things in Russia. He was he had committed pornography in Moscow. I mean, this was all a result of the CIA and the FBI and all the concoctions that now are accepted as intelligence. We have hysterical females like the Page woman. Do you remember her name? The woman who was in Lisa Page,
Yeah.
So you have the CIA and the Office of National Defense cooking up a girly type of intelligence that no longer is based in fact, and is the intelligence community is certainly part of this ramp up demonization of anyone who wants peace. You don't have to love Putin. And David, the thing that even the New York Times has said, that, well, Putin has something to worry about if you have all NATO countries, abutting his border. To mention, it's not as if any one of our NGOs are agitating for regime change, and it's not as if the United States has ever engaged in regime change, right? So,
Alana, I wanted to bring up, because you touched on a lot of points there. So I know it's one of our actually Hawaiian viewers is saying we still have Rand Paul. I think he's in the Senate now, isn't he? Or do we? I'm not sure if we do or not. So someone else has said, just a couple of quick comments. Someone says, a viewer says, is this a smokescreen to gloss over the COVID endgame? don't know. What do you think, Alana? Is this?
You know, I think that it's very legitimate. What? It's not. I think we have such shallow thinkers, such stupid, demonic, evil people in Congress on both sides. They know no history. They don't understand what a nuclear threat is. They've been behind the sundering and the decimation of a new nuclear treaty that we had with Russia, if I'm not mistaken, that happened. So there's such a cavalier attitude that I think the viewer might be perfectly right. It's sort of a feel good, wag the dog, COVID and inflation and border issues and party issues on your side of the pond.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up actually a very, I mean, you've written a lot of really good columns in this one, but there's one, Alana, I wanted to bring up and share with our listeners and viewers. If you can bring up this one here, from 2014. So it's not as if, you know, this was yesterday. It's an excellent title, Prostitute Cultivated Ignorance on Ukraine. And the problem is, for me, Alana, that prostitute cultivated ignorance, it hasn't gone away. If anything, it's deepened.
Yeah, well, that's the other axis of evil, and that's the press. You know, the press is narrative driven. It has a storyline about Vladimir Putin, and it's not reporting on the facts. It has established as a fait accompli that Russia meddles and Russia is responsible for the election of Trump, not the 80-odd million people who voted for him, on and on. And so the press, the American press especially, I think in Europe there's certainly a much more balanced press, but the American press, and we export our attitudes so vigorously, it's very much behind the intelligence, and the intelligence production is a scandal.
Well, it's a caricature. I mean, isn't it? We live in the caricature world of the legacy media, whereby essentially Vladimir Putin is his pantomime villain, and the good forces of the West are trying to stand by these poor, the poor besieged Ukraine. This is a narrative. However, somebody says here in the stream, Alana, and I think you probably have to agree with this. Someone says they've got armed backers who want a payday. Well, isn't that the truth? I mean, you know, all those military missiles now on display around the borders of Ukraine, that's good for the companies that make them, isn't it?
Exactly. It's the entire elite, and that's why that's a very good point the viewer brings up, actually, because, you know, the only argument that I've heard from, you know, patriots whom we love, like Pat Buchanan, of course, let me just quote what he says. He said something about why would we commit to risk war with nuclear armed Russia on behalf of nations no one has ever regarded as vital interests of the United States of America. And Tucker Carlson is of the same mindset. But if I may just challenge that perspective, it's sort of based on a non sequitur. It's based on a non sequitur, by which I mean that the conclusion is based on a faulty premise. And the faulty premise is that American foreign policy is conducted in the national interest. It's not, and as our viewer has just brought up, it's conducted purely based on self-serving elites' interests.
You see, yeah, Alana, absolutely right. And this is why I think this is such a great topic, because a lot of us, I think, in the past couple of years, because of COVID, have become very, very awoken to what you just said, those self-serving elite interests. And that's in the context of COVID. But in the broader context of what we're seeing happening here, it's exactly what you've written about for a long time, actually. These people are not doing what's best for America. If they were, I would suggest it's the US southern border they should be concerned about, not Ukrainian borders. But they don't say, surely that flags it up. They're no interest in the southern border.
You mentioned COVID and what has happened. I think we are all aghast at what's happened to civil liberties, to natural rights, you know, to our liberty, our constitutional and individual rights as Americans, as English. And Europeans, I mean, this has been such a shock, a body blow to the system, that you would think that that would completely eradicate any faith we have in government. We've seen the farmer state, a new entity we never knew existed, so powerfully, you know, that could actually decide if we work, if we lose our jobs, if we enter restaurants, you know, if our kids have to be grounded for years without schooling. The farmer state has decided this for us. And so you would hope that this has shaken this the sort of lack of faith in the elites would transfer to foreign policy. But I fear that war is one way to galvanize patriotism.
Oh, I agree. Now, here's another really good point that's come up in the stream here, Alana. Claude says, was the military-industrial complex behind the decision to leave so much behind in Afghanistan? I think so, yeah. You, Alana?
I don't know. I think it's probably just the way we conduct war. You know, it's a messy business. Nobody's invested. It's, you know, the military is government. We keep, you often hear on Fox News, and I think I'd quote Greg Gutfeld, why can't government work like the military? It's almost a private, or it's not. It's government. It is encompassed by all the inefficiencies and corruptions of government, from pregnant suits for our LGBTQ rights to political correctness and so on and so forth. So our military is inefficient. So I think you can look at the Afghanistan leaving the armaments, but certainly the military industrial complex is behind war making.
Exactly. I mean, again, another viewer says, makes the comment, Biden says they can have a 10-foot minor incursion, then he's going to come down hard on them. Yeah, that was Biden's ludicrous press conference. Did you see it, Alana? It's just embarrassing. Too embarrassing to, I wasn't going to play it. It's too embarrassing to watch. But I mean, the notion that Biden is in any way directing this is nonsensical. It is essentially that military techno elitist globalist complex which is driving all of this, but it's driving it really hard. I mean, it really is. It may suit interests in Downing Street and in potentially the White House at the moment to divert. It may do, but you know, this, when you can't mess around, I don't think you should be messing around with Russia. I think that's a very, very stupid thing to do. Stupid and short-sighted.
Russia's back is against the proverbial wall, you know, now with us. Absolutely. We have to have Ukraine in NATO, and why not others? You know, it doesn't matter to the so-called American interests that every NATO country that is added, every country that is added to NATO, we are obligated to go to war on their behalf. It's simply part of the Article 5 agreement. So that doesn't matter which just shows you they are not conducting foreign policy in the interests of the people. And in fact, it's a zero-sum game. The more their foreign policy, their gilded elite's foreign policy is realized, the less in good shape will the American people be.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I mean, you mentioned Article 5, by the way. Well, one of the things about Article 5, if you read Article 5, the purpose of Article 5 is that if the NATO will then come to the defense if one of their members is attacked. Well, hang on a second. Ukraine isn't one of their members. So what's all the saber rat? Why are they moving tanks to within striking distance of Ukraine? I mean, I find that perplexing. I think that Biden patently doesn't understand Article 5. Well, that doesn't surprise me. But the war hawks, they all understand it, but they don't care. do they? This is all about manipulation and grabbing a narrative, which I remember well back, Alana, back in 2015, 2016, when Trump was running against Clinton, and Hillary Clinton was gagging to get a war going with Russia. But I remember that back then, and it's sort of ironic that Trump comes in and things start to calm down. They get him out the door, and look where we are.
Yes, but Trump's entire, the 4 years he served as president were really a balancing act to show I'm being tough on Putin. Yes, I know Putin is, even dared to say, Trump had no problems stating the truth. He dared to say, no, there's no evidence that Putin interfered in our election. That's a narrative that you, show me the intelligence, and show me that it's not written by a deluded, woman. Yeah. Perpetually on the rag, like Lisa Page,
Yeah.
Foreign policy is written by these people. And you know how I know is because these romantic CIA, FBI chicks, they love Prague. So recently, they keep sticking in Prague because it's a very romantic city, I imagine. So whenever I see Prague in the intelligence, I know it's one of these Lisa Page females, they accused Saddam Hussein sending someone to meet there with Al-Qaeda, never happened. And recently Prague appeared with a meeting place. Was it Syria, a pretext? And the other thing we are doing to really goad the Russian bear is conduct many proxy wars. It used to be the proxy wars during communism were waged in Africa, right? Remember, as a South African, I remember Angola and so on. But now they take the veneer of you invade Serbia, you start goading about Russia, you Syria as a proxy war, and Iraq as well, where you are going to bring into a clash Russian interests and American interests.
I actually
read a very balanced. Sometimes you just have to go, I can't read the European press, but you have to, for instance, the Israeli press. I read an analysis in the Jerusalem Post, which is quite right wing. So I would think they would be very, agitating on behalf of the United States. But that's where you see this whole thing of Israel makes our foreign policy so ridiculous. The whole narrative in Israel was we would love to be as neutral as the Swiss. But we have to negotiate, because Putin has been to Israel. There are good relationships there. In fact, Ariel Sharon once called Putin in that one of my columns, my older columns about Russia. Ariel Sharon called Putin a nationalist and a patriot, a Russian patriot and a nationalist. Ariel Sharon would know because he was one himself. But anyhow, Israel, from that editorial, level-headed and moderate, the whole theme was Israel would like to remain neutral, doesn't want to weigh in on this, but it's worried about the frenzy and the frenetic tempo of DC and how its main backer, being the United States, will look upon Israel if it doesn't weigh in against Putin. Yeah. And Putin's in Israel's neighborhood, right? So they want to keep things calm.
Well, you see, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. That I referenced earlier, my concern about the powers that are actually in NATO. If you look at Trudeau up in Canada, look at Biden, look at even Macron. He's got difficulties in France. Look at Boris Johnson in the UK. A lot of these NATO powers do seem to be having their own internal issues to deal with, not just the US, not just the UK. So it's incredibly convenient. It's so convenient that just at that moment, that's when Putin moves to claim back Ukraine. It's the fact that they take us all for fools, Alana. And one of the reasons they do that is because people like you are excluded from getting your voice onto, if you like, the mainstream.
We include Fox, of course, in the mainstream, because I'm not going to diminish from the role of CNN and MSNBC, ram, you know, inciting to war just as much as Fox does, but there's a certain level of almost sexualized energy that happens when these people, I'm going to be rude and say that they're like bitches on heat when they start talking about war.
But they are. No, absolutely are. By the way, one of our viewers, Nampa Pete, says, is Alana on Getter? We'd love to follow. Yes, Alana is on Getter. And I think probably the link will be below this, Nampa Pete. But or we can maybe just put up Alana's handle. It's at Alana Mercer. So just that point I wanted to say. And some of the guys here saying different comments here. Joe Biden and the Democrats are no friends of Israel. Well, we know that. It is very, very difficult. There was a point, Alana, that you brought up, though, in another column, which I wonder if we can bring another one of Alana's columns up if we've got the link, where you were essentially talking about we have a lot in common with Russia, or we should have a lot of common in Russia. A largely Christian country, patriotic country, values that we should share in common. And I think in this column, making sense of the Russian monomania, which I love the image there, by the way, if we can bring that one up a little bit. And you talk about, Alana, again, these periods of mass hysterical contagion, and you define what mass hysterical contagion is. And we're certainly going through that at the moment. I think we've been going through it certainly for the last couple of years. But now they've amped it up, and Russia is once again in the spotlight. But Russia should be a natural ally, shouldn't it?
This column brings up another point, but the another column about the Alinskyite foreign policy. To conservatives at least, Russia should be a natural ally. Putin denounced communism, as Stephen Cohen points out, in the 90s. He's not a communist. He's a reactionary traditionalist, right? Putin has made it impermissible to missionize, for the LGBTQ community to missionize. Yeah. They're not allowed to evangelize. He has pro-family policies, pro-Russian family policies in place. He is very pro the Russian Orthodox Church. In fact, when those Pussy Riot whores stormed one of those, their iconic church, I think he put them in jail, and good for him. So, and he even acknowledged the threat under which white South African farmers operate, and he has actually welcomed an influx of something we don't even acknowledge. So Putin is a traditionalist, a reactionary, and certainly the hard right, which I'm on the libertarian hard right, probably. And you're certainly
I think we're right there, Alana. Yeah, we're not
not in common, but no, when you listen to the fools in Congress, the Lindsey Grahams, and also the other mavericks. There's a whole slew of younger people who are very influenced by this, the intel perspective on Russia. They have no wisdom. So,
You know, there's a quote in this column. If we just scroll up a little bit, you actually reference, I think it's Karl Rove. Around a bit will remember. Karl Rove made this quote there. I think you've got it, Dad. We've just got it in the middle of the screen here. So
we're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. This struck me as one of the most jarring, diabolical comments, and most truthful ever made by a very wily politician, Karl Rove. And this was in the ramp up to Iraq. And in a moment of weakness, of course, Bush was such an idiot. He believed the reality concocted by Rove and Cheney, whose daughter is now prolific in concocting other alternate realities. So, and he said very honestly, I think it was to the Wall Street Journal, we are an empire, and if we want to create an alternate reality and force others to move into that reality, we will do so. But David, that was the genesis, the thinking behind the Iraq War. We can just present a reality that is not corroborated on the ground, and pursue actions based on this false, horrible. If you think of how many, 1 million people displaced, Iraq destroyed, the Christian community destroyed, the small Jewish community, horrible what was done in Iraq.
As you also point there, Alana, and this is where things do, although they change, they stay the same. You wrote back then, with regard to all of this, this sort of heat, you said, with some laudable exceptions, big media all was tuned out, turned on, and hot for war. And today, we've got social media even bigger. So, you know, you've got all the YouTubes, you've got the Twitters, you've got the Facebooks of this world, all these other platforms who will all shill and allow themselves to be shilled for war. So it has stayed the same. And the other thing I wanted to say, just because talking of empires, you know, the British did have an empire once. And how did we destroy the empire? Whether you agreed with it or not, it's a different thing. Well, we overextended ourselves back in the 1850s at war with Russia. We then overextended ourselves in South Africa. And then we went into World War I. And by the time of World War II, we were done. That's what's going to happen in America.
I think you also got mired in Iraq in the early 1900s.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so no lessons learnt, actually, Alana. No lessons learnt. Why? What? How can it be that? Is it because the people in the military political nexus, they're always the same people? They never change. Is that why?
I think the Obama called it the blob. Or the deep state, and it's not so deep. I mean, it's absolutely out in the open. It's more out than any gay I know. You know, the deep state is not deep. It's absolutely manifestly there on the television. So it's the blob. But what else? That's a too profound a question to answer. Why are we repeating the same mistakes? Stupidity. I think the worst people, increasingly the worst people, institutionalized rot. Increasingly, the worst people go into government.
But Alana,
it doesn't sell. Peace doesn't sell. Libertarians, we're about 10% of the the political population.
But I remember a time when those people on the political left, the old-fashioned people on the political left, they were opposed to war. You know, they understood the folly of war. And I don't find their voices have gone.
They are the neoliberal and the neocons are just the same on war. Yeah. And that is why this is so dangerous, because when Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev were settling into detente with what Stephen Cohen called the parity principle, where each bloc's needs and interests would be considered as in a civilized post-communism world.
Yeah.
We don't have this. We have a left, and to extend the right, the very small percentage of the right sees things the way we do. But there is a unity about war, and the voices of the left have absolutely, since Vietnam and the heady days of Vietnam, it's just lost. It's lost in the culture war. They're more interested in someone said that their brains are pickled in the formaldehyde of identity politics. And I would say it's not identity politics. On this show, we call it what it is, hard truth. It's anti-white politics. So the left is vested in anti-West, anti-white, which goes fabulously with war.
Yeah, it does. A couple of comments here, Alana. One of our viewers says, with the absence of Trump, CNN and the MSM in general need a new crisis to prop up disastrous ratings. Well, yeah, that's true. And the same Dr. Hackenbush here also says, again, which was the point we've just made, old style liberals are extinct or pretty much extinct, which is kind of sad, because there would be a natural unity there with people like us.
Yes, there used to be a collaboration between the hard right and the left. Certainly, in the 1990s, and then came National Review and stopped that. National Review and the rise of the Krauthammer neoconservative wing that took over conservatism, and the left, well, I can't explain it. I think they became more and more militant about the culture war. Mm. Why do you think the left has abandoned war? They've also abandoned a lot of other good things like environmentalism in favor of looking to the skies and declaring the gods of global warming, yeah. The skies are falling, rather than we have environmental problems, we have plastic problems, we have population problems, you know.
Yeah. But these were all values at one point that the left upheld. Again, the point's been made, Alana, here, I can see it. Someone says, the Democrats have started the majority of wars the US have been involved in.
Certainly the ones we're talking about where the Clinton began the war between NATO, pitting East European and Central European countries. You're either with the West or you're with Russia. And you know, gathering them, enticing them with the NATO membership and bombing Serbia.
Here's a simple question.
And sorry, David, certainly Libya. Libya was a war of the womb. It was Mrs. Clinton and two of her gorgon heads, you know, her monstrous.
Yeah, the sisterhood. The sisterhood
were responsible for that. Of Libya, right? And I think Ivanka wanted to bomb Syria, which her father held back, fortunately, for the children, yeah. So
I'm just being told here, Alana, that as people watch this, I think on their phones, if they like what we're saying, there's hearts come up the screen, right? You and I can't see them on this, but there's hearts come up. I'm being told the hearts look better drifting in front of Alana than David, no offense. Oh. So there's hearts that you can't see, Alana, drifting up in front of you from the viewers watching this. Thanks everyone for sending the hearts, by the way. And I want a couple of final things before we wrap up. I mean, see NATO, right? I think NATO has outlived its use. I think NATO is in general an evil. I said it out loud. What do you think, Alana?
I think you're absolutely right. And Trump tried to venture into those territories. And again, the blob, the not so deep state, stood up to him and said he was evil. But we can just hope that the Europeans act in their own interests, in the interests of their people, and want to avert what the other scary thing, and we forgot to bring this up, is it used to be that Reagan and Gorbachev understood the importance of anti-nuclear proliferation treaties.
Yeah,
we don't understand that, and we've disassociated and left all the treaties that we were part of. And also, we don't live in that era where we got under the tables and had the drills, those futile drills that our parents had. Against the nuclear threat. So what's happening now is scientists on both sides are developing usable nuclear
weapons. Oh, scary stuff. Yeah.
That means they see a way to use these things, and that we have to be terrified. And so let's hope that Europeans, I think hope lies with the Europeans now, not to want to avert this catastrophe on their border.
Well, there's a tweet. I wanted to bring this tweet up. It's maybe to finish on some positive news. This is Jack Posobiec, who tweeted out, earlier today, Alana, that the Ukraine foreign ministry have said there have been no radical changes in the security situation recently. The accumulation of Russian troops near the state began last year. So in other words, but this speaks to our very point. Nothing's changed. There hasn't been this sudden scary buildup, you know, that necessitates NATO basically coming to the very edge of Ukraine. So Ukraine is basically saying there's not a problem here.
But you know, I think that's quite significant. That's a good tweet to bring up. The fact that Ukraine it has been lobbying for war. Its interests and lobbyists are outside DC. Lobbying for action on behalf of Ukraine, and let's not forget that the Eastern Ukraine is a former Russian settlement, is mostly right. Russian, and so that's when right. We say Donbass, Crimea, and Odessa, those are places populated with people with a lot of interest and affinity for Russia. So
Russia.
When I think Ukraine might just be realizing that it has amplified the situation so that it is not only made a fool of itself, it's working against its interests to make Ukraine such a hot spot, and wanting to actually calm things down and say, you know, calm things down with Russia, get the absolute insane American, warmongers off its front, and maybe just quieten things down.
And again, another final point, with some of these interesting points. I mean, the thing is that Europe, particularly Germany, they do depend on that Russian oil, which is reliable. They can buy
abundant,
yes. Do you think that Washington, Joe Biden, would like to disrupt that, get that supply reduced, so he can flog his oil and his gas across to Europe, and therefore
it's possible. Hasn't he been planning that? I think there was some talk of him.
Yeah.
I mean, that is pure evil. That's absolutely evil.
Yeah, and again, it's really weird, Alana. So it's like the U.S. is putting Germany in a crucible.
Exactly.
For nefarious Germany is not the bad guy in this scenario. I mean, I've got issues with Germans on COVID fronts, but not over this. I think that the new German chancellor is being screwed to the wall by Biden, predominant by the US anyway, under the auspices of NATO, for what could be pecuniary oil interests in the States. So it's really, really... What a world we live. You know, Alana, honestly, I know we've been doing our show together now, you know, for 6 or 7 months. And we do live in this mad world where everything that people consider to be the narrative, it's just not. That's why we need hard truths. We actually do need to disrupt the fake narratives being shoved down people's throats, embedded in their minds by a fake media. And that's, I think that's what our job has to be.
And how do you know this is truth? Because no one promotes peace just for what? What's the benefit of peace? There's no profits in peace.
No profits. No.
Aside the fact that we arrive at the truth based on history, the histories of the 90s, the history of the Cold War, the fact that we are entering a very dangerous period of a second Cold War, where there are none of the deterrents that we had.
That's right.
To have a reckless attitude to nuclear. Even a Republican said nuke them or use nuclear weapons are not off the table. That's coming from a Republican. Send him to the border there and tie him down. So he is, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're in a very dangerous position. We are warning against that. We're arriving at the at this by using, historical information, which is something the mainstream media is not doing, relying on constitutional principles and individual rights.
Well, the mainstream media is also ignoring something which in previous times might have been a consideration. I can see people mentioning it. It's the fact that the current US president's son, and indeed the US president himself, you know, need I say the company Burisma, the Ukrainian oil and gas company where Hunter was on the board, a bit of a consultant, getting lots of money, dollars flowing, not just oil flowing from Ukraine, but the media don't even talk about that, Alana. Yeah.
But that you know, is such a small part of it. So we shouldn't be reductive in a sense, reduce.
No, it's
a valid point, David. But, to say that they're going to war, you know, they have interests in Ukraine and so on and so forth. I think the push to war and the mindset about war is so powerful. We mentioned the neocon.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah.
Military industrial, the bimbos on the networks, the media. It is just a mindset that has taken hold like kudzu, you know, an out of control plant. So
But it is worrying. Actually, someone else has brought up the point, at least 4 US politicians' offspring have jobs in the Ukraine. Joe and Nancy for 2 of them. So I don't know who the other 2 are, but I just think that we're seeing, as you say, a thirst, a hunger for war. And we accidentally touched on it last week about this drumbeat. And between last week and this week, Alana, that drumbeat has magnified 100 times, you know, and as you say, the checks and balances that maybe existed in previous times, they've gone. They're not there.
And America's outwardly embraced a policy and a mindset of spreading democracy. We have NGOs in all these countries. They can say that they are just spreading ideas about democracy, but that is meddling. That is meddling. We have that. We've gone overseas abroad to change regimes. We have adopted a regime change mindset. And since the 1990s, I think Putin has a valid reason to believe that we, once all East Europe and Central Europe is subsumed within NATO, that this would be a serious danger and a serious risk to have on his border.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, as you say, they're prodding the Russian bear. And I think it's good, Alana, that voices like yourself and myself, my own way, that we at least put the marker down and we actually let people know that the mainstream media is completely fake, completely bankrupt on this one. But the stakes that are being played for are extraordinarily high with people's lives. Yes, people don't make money out of peace. People make money out of war, but they're bad people. They're bad people.
And David, the other mindset that America has abandoned and is trying to export to the rest of the world is leaving countries be, so they sort out their form of government. Oh no, we have to weigh in on the Uyghurs, and we have to, Russia is not a liberal democracy. Well, are we a liberal democracy? If this is liberal. The whole mindset is that every other country, nation has to be a caricature of the United States. And if not, it is demonized and is depicted as diabolical, and it loses its right to almost chart its own destiny. Foreign policy mindset that you hear regularly from people like Max Boot, and conservatives as well.
We've got a lot of Americans on the stream here. I can see, Alana. They're saying, just I'll read a couple of comments to wrap up. The push to war is because the Biden administration is failing and they need a national distraction. Someone called Barry Goldwater's ghost says, it will be Biden's Vietnam. It will be the end for him.
Yes, our reader has to remember that if it wasn't Biden, you'd have as potent a force on the Republican side pushing for action or sanctions or anything but negotiations and peace.
Well, that's why one of our viewers who's been commenting all the way through says some neocons play both sides. The most evil of people. Well, that's the point, isn't it? We're trying to make that they absolutely are. So we can say what we want about Biden and his lot, but would the other lot be that much better? You know, I seriously doubt it. Maybe we need to have a separate discussion on what sits on.
There's agreement on sending the troops, on ramping up, vigilance against Russia. There's agreement to all this. There's agreement on the Republican side. Do you know of anyone that has said, "Peter down, let's have discussions"? I think the Europeans are beginning to talk with Russia and are undertaking, peace talks. But as far as I know, maybe one of our listeners can enlighten us. But I haven't heard anything but agreement between Republicans and Democrats on the need to act against Putin. And this was the whole case of the Republican Party against Trump, that he wanted to negotiate with Putin.
Well, I mean, here's a bit of hope here. Somebody says Germany wants Dr. Hackenbusch to give him a shout out, suggest Germany wants to leave NATO and head a new EU army. I don't know if they'd be allowed to do that. NATO definitely is trying to nail Germany. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. I reckon there must be great unhappiness in Berlin at the machinations taking place in the White House and in Washington, because it puts them in a terrible. I mean, they get 40% of their oil comes from Russia. gets pretty cool. I was in Berlin in December a couple of years back, and it was so cold. Oh gosh, I couldn't believe how cold it was. And you know, so they need to get their oil. They need to be heated. That's a very cold part of the world at this time of the year. So this couldn't be worse for Germany, actually, ironically. So I don't know. Maybe Germany will. Someone makes a really good point here. Would you rather be sent to die by a neocon Democrat or a neocon Republican?
Well, neither.
Is the answer. Yep, I think on that answer, I think actually on that note, Alana, we absolutely don't want to be sent, and we don't want our young people to be sent, and we don't want to be engaged in these, calling them spurious misadventures is probably wrong. It's much, much worse than that. It's much, much more dangerous.
We will discuss the whole Republican racket at another time, but let's not forget that both parties, the duopoly, are two sides of the same bird of prey, as one libertarian once said, with apologies to the bird of prey community, because you're lovely, we love you. It's a wrong analogy.
Yeah, but you know, you talk about the states again, just something I saw in the House of Commons today. There was a discussion, and it was about the parties and whatnot. But the leader of the Labour Party, which is the left-wing party, which is historically the anti-war party, he stood up and he was basically saying, Prime Minister, why aren't you dealing with the important issue, Ukraine? And the Prime Minister was saying, I need to deal with the important issue, Ukraine. So you're right. Honestly,
there's no difference.
It's George Orwell's Animal Farm. It's the pigs looking at the humans looking at the pigs looking back, and they no longer can tell the difference between each other. That's how I see them. This side, I think you see them exactly the same, Alana, your side. And of course, the fate of lots of people and human beings lies in danger. So let's hope that, that this one does not escalate further. But I just think we just need to call it out for what it is. We've spent much longer than we do. It was a big issue.
You know, we covered the Russian army as opposed. We haven't fought a serious war against an army like Russia. This is not a Mickey Mouse army. Those people are wild.
Well, you remember we did a hard truth. Do you remember, Alana? We did a hard truth on the sort of ads that the U.S. Army were running, where I think it was very much LGBTQ+.
It was menstruation ads compared to He-Man ads.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think those tough as can be Russian soldiers would not be an easy rollover.
They're patriotic. I mean, the Russians are patriotic.
Yeah, they love their country. Now, I used to think patriotism was a given in let's say the US military, British military. I'm not certainly. There's a lot of generals and stuff who are they're not remotely patriotic at all. It's like, although things change, Alana, and you've highlighted this, and you, over your columns over the years, you've highlighted these things, they change. Some things stay the same as well, but the evil is always there. And if nothing else, we're just calling out that endemic evil and those war hawks, those warmongers who are manipulating away like mad. And, you know, we've seen them in COVID. And as I put up on one of my social posts, you know, the same people who told you, take the vaccine, trust us in the vaccine, are the same people telling you, trust us, we know what we're doing with Ukraine. No, you don't. You absolutely don't. I trust General Miley no less than Dr. Fauci.
Exactly. Well put. Stand down from the conflict.
Yes.
No war.
Exactly. Amen to that. Alana, listen, I know it's been a longer one than normal. Hope you've enjoyed this one, folks. Say all your comments. Nampa Pete, don't forget to follow Alana. It's at Alana Mercer. You can get that down below. Thank you for being here with us this evening. Thank you again for all those who will watch us on Rumble. We really appreciate your support here in Hard Truth. We do our best to kind of bring this to you every week. So all that remains for me to say is thanks very much, Alana.
Thank you, David. Lovely seeing you.
Thanks, everyone in the stream, and catch up with you folks
real soon. Thanks for the hearts.
Yes, all Alana's.